Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Well, welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I assume that Jeannie's got some technical difficulties. We just had to replace her computer, and she's setting up a new one. So I assume she was having difficulty getting online. So I'm going to say hello and welcome. And Jeannie, if you're there, come on in. But other than that, we're delighted to be here to support you in this process. We have the opportunity one more time of learning to teach and understand the ancient Aramaic right and tool of forgiveness. It is an awesome technology. It is so simple, it's difficult to comprehend, and that's what holds most people out of doing the work of healing. What is healing? Well, our input would be that if you hold a newborn child, you know exactly what a human life is. If you don't have one of those, not the newborn, but the human life, if you don't have that awesome, active presence of love, then my offering to you is that you have a problem. And your problem is that you're holding something from your genetics or from your environmental experience that locks you out of the presence of love that you are. And if that's so, then you probably are in a lot of pain about that. And being in pain, usually what most people do is they language how everybody else is at fault. You hurt me, you made me sad, you made me angry, you made me afraid, which is a thing we call denial. I've actually considered suggesting that the government form a 51st state, a state of denial, because most people live there. What does denial look like? If I have some form of pain, or torment, or sadness, or grief, or rage, then I have something going on inside of me that I need to put an end to. If I talk about you as though you are cause, then I cut myself off from the healing of that very dynamic that is locked inside of me, and I can now no longer heal. So forgiveness is the tool. It is the technology which allows us and shows us precisely how to go inside ourselves, find the part of our mind. There's a key way into that dissociated part of the mind. And that key way is the key to forgiveness. And so that's what we're here to share with you. That's what we're here to learn ourselves personally, in our family systems, in our culture, in our closest relationships, and in our most distant relationships. And so welcome to the show. We're glad you're here. We're delighted to have this opportunity to share with you. And let's check in and see if Jeannie is with us yet.
I am. Jeannie? And this is Thursday, March the 7th. And our call-in number is 646-200-4169. And Tim is with us, and we do have a caller.
Cool. Let's say a quick hello to Dr. Tim. How do you be, sir?
Doing quite well, thank you.
Fabulous. Anything exciting to share with us today? Anything big on your mind today?
No. The general thing is I'm blessedly busy. I'm looking forward to going back and listening to yesterday's show. I couldn't be here because I was busy seeing patients, and that's a good thing. And just that we're trying to spread the word about your being here from April 28th through May 4th. I'm looking forward to that. And
Cool. Well, we're looking forward to being there and getting to see some friends that are from our past and some new friends that we haven't met yet. And by the way, speaking of being somewhere to present a series of workshops, we'll not only be out there in Woodstock, Illinois, in April, the later part of April, but this weekend we will be beginning a 6-day series of workshops in St. Petersburg, Florida, at St. Petersburg Unity. So if you happen to be in the St. Pete area, Sunday morning we'll do Sunday services at Unity, Sunday afternoon, Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and then all day Saturday. First 5 workshops will be free, open workshops. We do charge a fee for that 6th one that we'll be doing, and if you want to come join us, we'd be delighted to have you. So, Jeannie, let's tap in and listen to our callers, see what they have to say.
Okay, it's area code 970. You're on the air.
Welcome, young lady. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored.
Yay. Well, yesterday I was on right at the end of the show, and I wanted to share one more thing and get your input. It's interesting. I ended up sharing a couple of quotes by Bill Hicks, who is a now passed-on comedian, that somebody had shared, and I liked them. And one was about quantum reality, and then the second one was about how senseless war is. And I have a friend who has a husband who's kind of a regular rancher sort of guy, and he commented on my first one, and can't even remember what he said, but it was kind of he said, Mr. Hicks doesn't realize that there's evil people in the world and they need to be killed or they're going to come over here and kill us. And so I took a really deep breath and I thought about it, and then I explained the ancient Aramaic process. And it was just such a privilege to be able to do that. And I had several people who commented afterwards and said how much they appreciated it. Then I posted the next one about how senseless war was, and the same guy commented, no, that was the one about war. And then I posted one about the president of Venezuela dying. It was just a newscast thing. But it said, told that he had gotten rid of the American ambassador, and he thought that maybe somebody had, caused him to have cancer or whatever. But who knows about all that. But anyway, so the same friend posted under there, oh, was this guy your hero or something? And I'm not kidding. I mean, I just took a breath and I was like, wow. And then I thought, okay, what is this bringing up in me? And I know I felt generations of humans hating other humans, and a lot of things. I've gone through 2 days of breathing, of doing worksheets, of processing, and I feel like I'm really at a good place with it, finally. And I thought to myself, I need to thank this person that they resonated something inside of me that I need to take a look at. And I think at this point, I'm ready to go post a comment after this and just say, no, this wasn't my hero, but I'm just learning to stand in love for all of humanity. And but it took me a couple of days to get to that point and to not just be in, I could almost imagine there were all these things that went through my mind and heart that were really fear-based. And so I did a lot of clearing of that stuff. So anyway, I just thought I'd toss it out there and see if you have any other suggestions. But it's been a really learning, powerful process, which I'm really grateful for. Am I still on?
You are, but Michael must have his mute
button
on.
Excuse me. My mute button was on as I started to speak. I was just saying, what an awesome gift that this fellow was able, with just a few words, to stir all of that up inside of you. And here you are, having cleared out the next level and having the next level of clarity of mind to be able to speak the truth that we are human beings. We are made of the stuff called love. And until we can forgive or remove all of that hostility or fear, we'll give up our human lives for the slightest provocation, or, of course, the greatest provocation. It seems that of course, the greater provocations are more difficult to overcome, and the only reason that they're more difficult to overcome and reclaim our human lives in the presence of is because we have bigger and bigger bags of garbage to deal with. And so if someone can say something that brings up fear, rage, grief, pain, trauma, confusion in me, the truth is they're my gift, and it's my opportunity to forgive, to remove those things from my field so I have clarity. So when somebody says, gee, was this, and of course in this culture, Chavez was looked at as the bad guy. And the truth is, Chavez is just another cell in my body. If we could just find the truth. I love what Einstein said, and not too many people want to listen to the truths he brought forward. They were happy to engage in the bomb he's helped develop. But when he says, if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. If I happen to be one who has hatred for Chavez, then guess whose human life my hatred destroys? Only mine. If I have hatred for anybody, those people on the other side of the world, who, of course, they've been brainwashed with the same. There are those people on the other side of the world, and they're really bad, and we need to go kill them because they want to come and kill us. And that's been the way that wars have been perpetrated forever. And it's just time for us to end the brainwash and to wake up as human beings. And each one of us that wakes up sends out a field. And each time I choose love, I send a little more energy that wakes up the love in everybody that I touch. So nice work. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm still so there, grateful. Craig? I'm still here. I had mute on. I'm so grateful for this work, and I look forward to the day when I don't have to take 2 days to process to get to this point. But I'm just, it's a really, it's just amazing.
Breathe.
I'm sorry.
Breathe.
I know. It's just an amazing wave of awakening to be part of. I'm so thankful. And I appreciate that Einstein quote. And
so what are you feeling right now? What's happening?
I'm feeling a lot of gratitude, so I don't know that I need to be crying about that. I guess I could breathe about it and be happy, huh?
Go for it.
So, in the thought that every time we hold the space of love, we expand the field, I really appreciate that thought, too, because I know it's true. So.
And every person that does it makes the field a little stronger. And when the field gets strong enough, in the same way that when one is in the field of hatred, the tendency is, if they have hate inside of them, to hate. If one steps into the field of love, because that's the stuff they're made of, it's going to strengthen the presence of love in them. So the love is not the higher path. The love has got the real advantage and the power, because that's the stuff we're all made of. And when we can each speak the words and function as the active presence of love, then we change the whole game. And when human life shows up, you know, I don't care if it was Saddam Hussein or Hitler or George Bush or Chavez, doesn't matter which one of them it was. When love shows up, the whole game changes. And if I can't hold love in my mind when I think of someone, then I've been brainwashed into thinking that that someone is to be hated, and to hate means I have to give up my human life. When I reclaim my human life, it's a game changer. And that's, you know, the understanding of what human life is has almost been disappeared from the planet. The presence of human life has been just about disappeared from the planet. In the ancient teachings, they said there'll come a time when the whole world will be full. And man, are we on the cusp of that. However, we are growing a vibration of awareness that we are designed to function as this awesome presence of love called human life. And when human life walks into the room, it's awesome.
Yeah. I think the other thing is, I was amazed at how much fear it brought up in me, you know, just that one little comment resonated forth. And I really felt, I mean, I actually had images of being beaten to death, you know, I mean, it's kind of like what flashed through my mind was amazing. And so I'm grateful to be able to clear that layer and probably have more clearing to do, but definitely just kind of so exciting.
It is exciting. And of course, if you hold that frequency of being beaten, what high energy wave, you know, we've talked before, we talked in the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop about the research and the work done by Marcel Vogel, who was a 23-year senior scientist from IBM. Marcel has the camera in his laboratory with which to take a picture of the high energy waves that leave the mind when we think a thought. So if I hold beaten to death in my field, then, and there's somebody in the neighborhood who's really into beating up on people, guess who's coming to dinner? It's going to be the person who's in resonance with that. And if they show up and bring that up in me and I'm doing my work, I then, in that space, bring that terror and trauma and that energy of having been beaten to death through the love that I am, which dissolves it and heals it. And then I open a space for that person who is on the other side of the fence playing the game in the opposite direction of beating others, and I open the space for them to heal. And, you know, there's a wonderful line in The Course in Miracles that says, when you are healed, you are never healed alone. And each one that steps through one of those painful experiences and comes out the other side as love opens a space for everybody on the planet who has a similar issue. So thank you for the work.
Yeah, and I think that was getting those kind of flashes going through my mind made me realize I must be tapping into, you know, kind of a deeper, I haven't experienced that in this lifetime, but it made me realize that it was tapping into a generational or I don't know what, you know, kind of other levels of human experience that have happened throughout history, and just so grateful to get to play a role in helping shift that for myself and the whole.
And you know, it's interesting how many people say to others, you know, I love you so much I would die for you. And usually the person who says that is already dead spiritually. The bodies are there, but they're not alive. There's not human life in them. And so my challenge to people is, rather than willingness to die for the people that you say you love, what would it be like if your commitment was, I'm willing to live for you. I'm willing to maintain my human life. I will be this awesome active presence of love 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for you. Dying for somebody's easy compared to that one. Especially if you come from a bloodline filled with rage and grief and hatred and vengeance and murder and all the jackass stuff that's going on the planet. And so to wake up to who we are and say, I'm willing to live for you. And when something less than human life comes up in me, to apply the tool of forgiveness and remove it. What an awesome opportunity. What a game to play. It's like it's the best game on the planet.
It is. Thank you so much.
Delighted. Glad to be on the team, young lady.
Yep. You guys be blessed. Bye-bye.
All right. Lots of love. Bye-bye. So our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If you happen to be on one of those stations that we don't have in our control panel, you could just put in a call and push 1. And if you push 1, that'll put you in queue. So speaking of queue, Jeannie, is anybody in the queue?
No. Nobody has their hand
good thing
up.
Your name.
Pardon?
It's a good thing your name isn't Susie, isn't it? Susie, queue. Anybody in the queue, Susie? No. What can I say?
No, nobody has their hand up. And the chat room only has one guest in it, so I'm not sure where all of our chat participants are. But it's really quiet. There's several people that's on the switchboard, so if you press 1, you'll be first up.
So let's set the scene. You and I have just finished sitting through the presentation of Why Is This Happening to Me Again. I've walked down off the stage, and there you are with 1,000 questions. And you tell me, I just have a quick question. That's the most common comment I get from people. I just have a quick question. And then their quick question is, well, you know, my spouse has been cheating on me, and I ran around, and we did this, and we did that. And I did. But this is just a quick question I have for you. Interesting. So what would your quick question be? If I just walked off the stage presenting Why Is This Happening to Me Again, and you were sitting in the audience, I know you've got a question for me. So what would your question be? And some people say, well, you know, my question's so elementary, it's so silly. No, we've got new people on the show every day, and every elementary question brings forward an opportunity for everybody that's listening to the show to understand the principles on deeper and deeper levels. And every question elicits a different level and quality of response that serves everyone. So push one, you're next in queue. If you push it now, and if you're shy, let go of your shyness. Just take a breath and push the button and ask your question. And if your voice is a little shaky because you're on the air, so what? Go ahead and do it anyway. We'd love to hear your voice. We'd love to have your question. Cool, let's go for it.
Area code 269, you're on the air.
Okay, this is Chris again. Michael, I talked to you last week or so. Thank you. A lot of the sheets, the...
reality management?
Oh, yes. But anyway, the part where it comes to how something make you feel, I don't know if it's because I'm a man, and I don't come up with a lot of feeling words, and then sometimes I do. But I looked up a children's list of feeling words, and basically they come under sad, mad, afraid, and, well, glad, sad, mad, and afraid.
Right.
A lot of these don't seem necessarily like their feelings. They're more like thoughts. So my next is, can you just use like the main headings? It seems like everything I come up with usually centers around mad or guilty. When
yes.
I feeling words or how I'm feeling, mad or guilty is the two main ones. And then there's just, and this is just a children's list, and there's probably 20 words, feeling words on here under each category. So my question is, does it really make a whole lot of difference you get the exact right word?
Well, actually, the more important thing behind that particular step is to tap into the thought behind it. That's really where the important thing is. And actually, guilty, most people think I feel guilty, and guilty is not a feeling, as you say, it's a thought. I am guilty, which has a thought, something along the lines of, I've done something wrong. And so guilty is really, you know, a perception, it's a thought. And so if you tap into and you say, when I think of myself as guilty, I feel sad, afraid, crazy, rageful, terrified, what feeling goes with that? And then the next step is really where the key is. And as you work with it, you'll tend to uncover more and more of what's going on. Recognizing that we as men have been brainwashed into drugging ourselves with anger. You know, we were taught when the bully at school picked on us, you know, even mom maybe said, well, you know, you've got to be tough like your father. And what did father do when someone confronted him? He went into a rage. So what does Johnny do? Johnny learns to rage. And rage is nothing but an anesthetizing drug internally produced to keep us from feeling our fear, our sadness, our hurt, or what have you. The real key is to touch into what's the thought underneath it and to keep working with that. And then once you see, so let's say the little kid who's been told to go back into the face of the bully and, you know, punch the bully. So they pump him up with rage to do that, with anger, and tell him that's the modeling to follow. Then what does this little kid do? They go into their anger, and the hurt and the pain of the terror that they're feeling they're anesthetized against. At any point in the future, when that six-year-old's terror is resonated, what we're going to do, if that's with the brainwashing that we've been put through, is we're going to go into rage when terror is resonated. And so to take a breath and to recognize that if I have rage and beneath it is my terror, then where's the forgiveness process lie in that? And that is to look at, well, what did I want when I was 6 years of age? I might go back and do that worksheet. Well, I wanted to live in a world when I went to school that was safe. And so now I cancel my goal to be safe, and I've just opened up the file in my mind on safety, where there are all kinds of thoughts about how the world isn't safe. It's not safe to be at school. It's not safe to be with the teacher because the teacher's going to beat up on me verbally, embarrass me in front of the class. It's not safe to be in front of the preacher because the preacher's going to rage about how I drove in the nails. It's not safe to be in front of my mother because my mother's going to insist that I be tough like my father. It's not safe to be in front of my father because my father rages. Oh, at 6 years of age, where do I go? There is nowhere but drugging myself. That six-year-old will very likely become the alcoholic, the cocaine addict, the sugar junkie, the rageaholic. And they're the layers of things that need to be cleared out. But the core of that particular process is going to be around the feeling of safety. So that's the real thing you want to follow that trail into. So the feeling isn't as important as starting to tap into the thought that brings that feeling forward. And as you do that, you'll get better and better at identifying your specific feelings.
Thank you.
Delighted. Delighted. I hope that makes sense for you.
It sure did.
Cool. Well, any other way we can support you with the forgiveness process, with the reality management sheet? You're doing them. Any other questions that have come up in the process?
Not right off the top of my head right now, no. I'm new at it, and I sometimes feel like it's relatively flat, like low numbers as far as how upsetting it is. And I look for things that I'm upset about and don't always find them. But then I just finished your book and the thing on wasted relationships. I think I could do 50 of them all of a sudden, because I feel like I've had a lot of those.
Right.
So maybe focus in more on the thought than maybe the feeling on that one too.
So then the thought there would be something along the lines of loss, perhaps. So some worksheets around loss would probably be useful there. Worksheets around wanting to be accepted and nurtured would be useful in that situation. Worksheets around wanting to be nurturing and caring.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was mom that bulldozed me into being rageful like dad, when I get into a relationship with a woman and this woman starts to move into any kind of posturing physically, mentally, emotionally, or verbally that resonates mom, then up comes this terror about being bullied into, and so what do I feel like when I'm bullied? Well, I do what I was taught to do, just like that. I bully back, and of course, being, 10 inches taller and 100 pounds heavier, it's pretty scary for a woman. So what does she go into? Oh, you have to shrink into a corner. You got to be nothing, and all those matching bags of garbage, and that would be the place to take your worksheets in that regard.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Absolutely delighted, sir. Thanks. Now, where are you located? Remind me, Chris.
I'm I actually live in Hastings, Michigan, but I go to Greater Lansing Unity.
Oh, okay,
so,
cool. Have you?
I do a lot. I'm in Lansing a lot, Lansing, Michigan.
Right. So you're participating in Rex's support group?
I am. Yep.
Cool. Fabulous.
Yeah.
Right on track. Well, keep in touch with us and keep asking the questions because that was an excellent one. I think opens a space for a lot of us to take another look at another level of and the fact that we've been taught to hide from ourselves. This coming out of hiding can be quite a challenge.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Michael.
All righty. Blessings. Thank you.
You bet.
So, Jeannie. Anyone else with a hand up, Corinne?
Yes. 517, you're on the air.
Hello, Michael. Hi, Jeannie.
Hey, Rex. Welcome, sir.
Great to hear everybody speaking and sharing. And, you know, great question, Chris. Appreciate it. I had some input from a different angle that I found for myself that was helpful when I was really working with that idea of, and I still work with it, you know, it's different levels, but the idea of connecting with what I'm feeling. So I heard something a little different, possibly, and this is just as an invitation to look at, because I know it was something for me that I've had challenges with. In our society, especially in our age group, Chris, in our male process, what I found is that I was taught that thinking about things and being angry was okay, but really diving into those deeper level feelings of sadness and emoting that pain wasn't okay. And so I received a pretty strong message from my environment, or so I perceived a strong message from my environment, that it was okay to think about and talk about what I was feeling, but it was more difficult to just feel it and express it as a feeling with others. So that may come into play when we're working with that part of the worksheet as well. It did for me. And as I gradually became aware of the pattern that I had in me that said it isn't safe to feel, I was able to connect with those feelings more readily and go into the deeper realms of them. So I thought that would be something that would be good for those of us that have had that challenge as well. And that may be part of what Chris is dealing with. And the response you had, Michael, is perfect, because it is important to recognize what our thoughts are that are causing the feeling, because they're more of the shadow, obviously, is the feeling. Yet sometimes, like Jeannie's taught, and I love that idea, is going backwards into the worksheet, you know, and sometimes it works to just in the reverse. So just be aware of the subtlety of denying a feeling in the midst of really looking at the thought. That was really what I wanted to say.
We live in a culture that says I'm not allowed to feel, because if I feel, then I'm going to resonate the same feelings in everybody around me, and everybody around me is in denial, so they don't want to hear from anything. They don't want to feel any of that stuff. So if I tap into it, then everybody else has to feel it around me. And man, that's such a restriction in our culture that it's just unreal.
And especially,
yes, good
thought,
Michael. Good catch.
Yeah, and especially with that, as a child, when we're really young, that's the world that we live in. I mean, that is the world of sensory experience and feeling. And then we gradually develop the skill of being intellectual, you know, and interacting that way. And so I find quite often for me and for many of the people I work with is that idea that we moved away from our true beingness was so interconnected to the feeling experiential part of ourselves that's a part of that disconnection as well. And that seems to play a role in that, you know, moving into the intellectual piece to get away from the feeling. And you're so right. It's our society. It's, you know, you look, it's rampant, you know, and you're also right. I remember as a child when I was 2 years old, I remember having the experience of seeing what appeared to be painful experiences in my world, you know, with my parents and my brother and sister, and wondering why, what is this, you know, and what, why? This isn't even the truth. What's, you know, and it was almost like it was where I started to dissociate from those deeper levels of awareness and the sensory experience that I was having with being connected to the pure love that I was. And I recognized that they were that, and then I remember having challenge with staying connected to the feeling that I was having inside me of pure love when something else appeared to be being represented in my world. And I think that's kind of what you were saying about society, you know, and So that those are just some ideas I had about that. The feeling is it can be incredibly helpful, and especially for us guys in this range, Chris, of age. You know, I'm talking, you know, 55 to, you know, 70, you know, in that area especially, and before that, but especially that for me, recognizing that we were really conditioned to think that it's not okay to feel. You know, you don't show your feelings because then that shows weakness, blah, 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 and all the lies that we were that were shared with us.
Right on track, and except for the part about the, I don't know where you get that 55 to 70 stuff, but okay.
That was good. Yeah, I thought you'd catch that. But, you know,
I'm not
you know.
Claiming that stuff. We'll just let that one go. Hey, it's only a number. Energy systems are eternal. Let's go for eternal life. You know, let's open the mind energy on planet Earth to heal and forgive all these ideas that, and the expectation, you know, the expectation that, well, you know, you're getting older, so the parts are going to start to get weak and they're going to start to fall apart. And when you get older, you know, there's, I mean, let's change it and let's create a mind energy and a real true frequency of the expectation is because I am tapping in on deeper and deeper levels to the presence of the love of God in me and in my world and extending that in my world, and that naturally upgrades and strengthens and heals everything about my field and takes me into higher and higher levels of true well-being, that we really create an expectation that when we get up in the morning, I expect to be going uphill and getting better, stronger, healthier, rather than, well, you know, it's just naturally part of the aging process. Because the truth is, aging isn't anything to do with it. It's the energies that we engage in, and especially the mind energy that we engage in. So I'm up for us creating a strong enough field of mind energy that each and every one of us gets up in the morning with the expectation of, I wonder what's going to be stronger about me today. I wonder what's going to feel better about me today. I wonder what's going to be more intelligent and more capable about me today, and be willing to have that surprise show up rather than the one most of the culture is brainwashing for. Would you join me in that one, Rex?
I am all over it. Absolutely. It's a big part of what's happening, and I know that sounded like I was referring to age, but I was actually referring to a space of time where the conditioning was more specific to what I was talking about. And I think as we grow, I mean, the younger generations have been shown, I think, that as men, you know, you see more hugging in sporting events, you see more interaction on a feeling level, an emotional level, and touching with some of the younger people, they didn't have the same level of programming, or it didn't appear to be that. That's what I was referring to. Chris is more in the age group that I was born in. But yet, what you're describing is totally true, because if you and I wake up every day, Michael, and we say, yes, you know, and I love the idea is that just this is another day in paradise, and I can go beyond the images that I have projected on the world that make it something other than paradise in my own mind, in my experience. And there's a lot of things that certainly don't reflect paradise, and that's where all the forgiveness comes in and the healing work comes in. So absolutely 100% behind that and with it and in it, and every morning wake up, and sometimes as I wake up and I get out of bed, the body kind of gives me a different image. Or I create a different image from my experience in my body going, oh, you know, a little bit of that. But then it's like I just get up, move around, and it goes, oh, yeah, those are just thought forms that I've solidified in my field that are coming to my awareness so that I can forgive them and that I can heal those patterns and those ideas.
Exactly. I join you in that, and I always remember in verbatim from the first time I heard this comment or this quote, it was burned into my brain, and I heard it once about, oh, probably getting on to 40 years ago. It was a research project that was done on aging by a group in Cincinnati called the DeCourcy Clinic. It was a medical research group researching aging, and here's what they had to say. Time is not toxic. Time has no effect on human tissue under any condition.
It is the belief in the effects of time by those who subscribe to such a belief that acts as a poison. And so I'm here to support the world giving up those beliefs and moving into the true presence of human life. And, you know, people will say, well, gee, if everybody actually stepped into eternal life, we've got an overcrowding problem now. What would we have if that occurred? Well, what we would have would be human life showing up, and who knows what we'd be creating if we were actually functioning fully. If we had 7.5 billion people functioning as that newborn energy of love 24/7, 365, who knows what this game would be like? It sure wouldn't be anything like the one we've been playing lately on the planet.
So true. And that idea, Michael, about the one idea about, well, gosh, if we have such overpopulation, quote, now, and if we all of a sudden we had everyone become aware and realize they didn't have to go through this deeply embedded generational habit of suffering and pain and you know, and dying, then all of a sudden, well, gosh, nobody would be dying, then how could we do that? Well, the beauty of that is there's the creative intelligence that's always living and breathing through us, and if we're in that and living that, then abundance is what happens, and prosperity is what happens, and that happens with food, that happens with shelters, that happens with whatever's necessary, you know, and the idea that we keep, that gets perpetuated on the planet is the idea that there's lack, there isn't enough, there's, you know, we're limited resources, et cetera, et cetera, and that's just more of the lies that has been perpetuated in our carbon-based memory and through this process of evolution. And I happen to believe, and I'm continually working on affirming that and living it more, this probably isn't proper, but alively, living it more abundantly, finding that it's just taken care of. And I, by my actions, of course, that's an important part of it. One of the thoughts I just had was to share, and I shared this with the audience in our conversations, Michael, yours and mine personal, and also with the group. And when my son made his transition a month and a half ago, I had this really strong force that felt very much intuitive in me that said whenever I would go into the levels of grief, and there's been tremendous levels of pain and sadness and grief, but when I would go into it, my inner voice, I want to call it my divinity, said, don't stay there, let it go. Let it go, breathe, let it go. And I, what my perception at the time was that was what I called my son, because my son's name is Journey. And I got at the time that it would be something that I would not be able to connect with him. So what I was motivated to do is just let it go, just breathe and let it go, forgive it, move it out, let it happen, be okay with it, embrace it. And as I did that, I would feel connected to what I perceived Journey to be. And what I came to understand over time now, I think that was true, but what I came to understand that it was a much bigger picture than that. It was the example that I had as an opportunity with the law of resonance. And that was that what I called Journey in a body was now an individualized aspect of the totality as a part of divinity, as a part of God, and in a more refined form, not so much in a denser or physical form. And his frequency was at a different level, and so then I would be able to resonate with that because I had free will to do that, and it would have been, apparently, this is what the communication was given to me, is it would have been more difficult for him to step down to the frequency of pain and illusion and sorrow and grief because it wasn't real than it would be for me to let it go and heal it and step into that space of pure love. And since then, I've been practicing that, and I believe I put a lot of effort forth before that, but this something just really triggered in me and changed, and it's been pretty amazing that I realized, well, that's fundamental to us being able to experience our true nature and that pure essence of God or the pure essence of the divine, and call it what you will. But I felt prompted again as you were discussing that about the planet. What if everybody on the planet experienced that? Well, then we would have pure genius expressing, pure joy expressing. And sure, you might have an emotional piece here or there and different things will happen, but the overriding experience would be sharing God, sharing love, sharing who we are. And the end result is going to be amazing. So I guess what I was sharing is that is through this experience of my son's transition, what I've come to understand is whatever I'm holding on to in any way, shape, or form, unlike the true nature of love, my pure essence and your pure essence, Michael, and everyone, that is an opportunity to apply the breath to, the forgiveness to, the any tool that I have been able to pull into my experience that is effective and works to remove that and forgive it. And the end result is I'm left with who I am. I'm left with seeing who you are. I'm left with experiencing what creation, I'm thinking, in my experience, is more of what it's really about. And it's just a great reminder for me. I was highly motivated because it was a personal thing that I thought I was working. And I was, but there's always a bigger picture I found to be true when there's things unfolding like that. But that seems to be, and it's a good motivator. It's just a simple motivator when I get out of bed and I feel this creaks and I might groan and moan a little bit and go, oh, you know, and think my body hurts or whatever, to go, now, wait a minute. If I stay in that, or if, like Carrie was sharing earlier, if she stayed in her pain that was triggered in her by this gentleman that, you know, pushed her buttons, then she would lose her connection, or at least temporarily would not be aware of it. And that was just another example. So anytime anyone in any way, shape, or form triggers or resonates something in me, then I have that experience of disconnecting from my awareness of my divinity and my oneness with all of creation. And this is what you teach, Michael, and I'm just, you know, sharing again from my own personal perspective, but it's everything I hear you say. It seems to be the main theme.
That is the core of it. And one little refinement that I put in there in the language is that, you know, if you get up in the morning and something creaks and groans and moans and say, ah, that is real. It's just not true. It's not the truth about you, but it's real because we've put it into our structures and made it real. Once we start to see through it and apply the active presence of love, then that which we have made real begins to dissolve and is replaced with the truth. And the truth is that this form is designed to be a device that embodies the active presence of love, not all the angers, rages, hates, fears, and griefs of the culture. And so to recognize that, you know, a lot of people will reject out of hand when you say, well, that's not real. It's like, well, hey, buddy, I've been having this experience for a long time. It's real. Well, I acknowledge it is real. It's just not the truth. Not the truth. It may be a truth. It may be your truth at the moment. But when you choose to forgive it, you can literally change the truth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank
cool.
you. Cool. Yeah. Very cool.
Well, I appreciate, I sure do. You know, certainly when someone passes like your son did, it cranks up the heat. And both you and Mitzi, along with Brea and Josh, have just so gracefully stepped into opening a space on the planet for a whole different level of healing and a whole different level of work. And so you have my gratitude and my admiration for what you've all done.
Well, thank you. And I love to, I actually find myself enjoying hearing that. And then I've gotten just wonderful gifts as a result of recognizing that what I'm doing, and I love my interpretation of what Yeshua said, I'm definitely paraphrasing, but of myself I do nothing, it's the Father, you know, and it's the consciousness of the wholeness that I'm experiencing in me that I'm doing the best I can to represent fully, and that's what you just said, you know, just to embody the beingness of love. And that's where the credit goes, and that is me, but it's more the true me, you know, and like you were just describing. Yeah, I get up and it's like, yeah, that's true. It's real, but it's not the truth. And that's another example. You know, the truth is you're pure love, and we're all pure love, and I'm pure love, and that's what I give the credit to. And the more I do that genuinely, it's amazing the experiences I'm having. So thank you so much.
Glad to be on the team, sir. Delighted to be supporting you and to be supported by you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ditto. I'll tune off.
All right, my friend.
On the program.
Okay. Bye. Love and blessings. Take care. Bye-bye. So, Jeannie, here we are in Treasure Island, Florida. It's probably about 65 degrees. It's sunny. It's beautiful. It's a little windy. And we've got about another 7 or 8 minutes for somebody to put up their hand. Do you have a caller, sweetie, or anything happening in the chat room?
There's not another caller, but Nene is in the chat room, and she is actually right now in Venezuela. And so I had asked her how things were going there with Chavez passing, and she says that all the collective unconscious triggered fear, and the ones in the offices have hostility speech. They're threatening. She's already done 3 worksheets today. And so I told her we were holding the space, and she wrote again and says, I am proposing that my Venezuelan audience does 1 worksheet a day for 40 days in reference to the political situation. She's having a Mind Shifter Still Point Breathing workshop tomorrow, Friday, March the 8th, from 1 until 9 p.m. at a ballet school. She said yesterday, to her surprise, most of the people that attended the Y said they were coming. So that's a good thing. And then she said the government's taking 7 days of grief. There are no schools, private or public, no banks, no public offices. None of them were working. She's triggered in her fears, her sadness, and her frustration, the fear of being able to move on and succeed. And she says, please open the space of love for this.
We are absolutely here to hold that space of love for the pain of all of the people in Venezuela who dearly loved their leader. And, of course, the game of politics creates things other than love. And so we join in holding that space for him, for his family, and for the whole nation, and recognizing that as the pain and trauma in a culture heals, the culture is able to change its game. And as we here in the Western world, in America, choose to heal, then we change our nation and we change our game, and we change it to one of sanity, one of abundance, one of caring, one of concern for each other, for every brother and sister on the planet, right down to what the mind would say is the worst of the worst. Actually accepting and living the teachings of the man who said, love those who hate you, do good to those who despitefully use you, rather than I love those who are part of my belief system and everybody else is going to go to hell. And others deserve to have war made upon them and be slaughtered. Excuse me. Don't tell me that you have any belief in the teachings of Yeshua if you believe that world. And it's time for us to wake up and time for us to bring healing to all of the 7.5 billion people on the planet, whatever their political, religious affiliations, their persuasions are. Let's function as human beings. What an awesome space it's going to be when that happens. So, Nene, we're there to support you, and I wish we could be there to breathe with you tomorrow. That's fabulous.
She says that things are doing well with her daughter, Lucia, and opening up little by little, and that seems to be a little more enthusiastic. She says, thank you for holding the space. And she says it's 102 degrees in Valencia. It's very, very hot. Venezuela desperately needs to heal so that we can create a prosperous mentally healthy and democracy. So we are thankful for what you're doing down there in Venezuela, taking the work to another country, and we appreciate you for that. We do have another hand up. We've got about 5 minutes. Area code 718.
We do have another hand up. We've got about 5 minutes.
Hello?
I think you've got your computer going. There you go.
It's off now. This is Ron from Massachusetts.
Hey there, young man. How are you?
I'm well. I found myself restored and pleased listening to you and Rex, and when you talked about Yeshua saying to do good to those who despitefully use you, to love those who hate you, and do good to those who despitefully use you, I wanted to call and share something I did in a recent talk that I gave at church, where I took a tube of toothpaste that was in our home, and I took the plastic, the labeling off of it. And I was doing a talk on praying for those who hate us and how that all works. And at the end, when I was concluding, I had written prayer on the tube of toothpaste, Michael. And I held it up as a product that I was selling and to use it for, to pray for those who hate you, if you really want to heal. And I referenced when Yeshua said that even the tax collectors pray for those who they love. And the point that I was making was not the old kind of church normal point of bad people pray for the ones they love. I was saying that, and I took the tube of toothpaste and I held it over my arm. And I said, you know, even the people who aren't, and I said, think of the tax collectors not as bad people, but people who maybe aren't as conscious, maybe aren't as committed to healing as you want to be, as you aspire to be. And so what he's saying is even people who aren't committed to healing will pray for those who love. But if you really want to heal, I've got this powerful medicine. And I held my arm out and I said, you can squirt this all over the part of your arm that's already healthy and fine, or you can go to where the wound is and you can apply it to where your pain is, where it hurts. And if you want to get the maximum benefit out of this medicine, you put it where it hurts, and that's the people that you quote-unquote hate and that despitefully use you. So I thought it would be a neat way to check in at the end of the show to share that story.
Good visual, sir. Right on track.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
I did watch your videos on YouTube, and they're cool. Anybody who might want to watch Ron doing a presentation on YouTube, give us the do you know the address offhand where you can find that? Or?
I don't offhand, but if we want to, we can maybe communicate about putting them online. I'm still very much a beginner when it comes to speaking to groups about the work, but I did have a lot of fun with it.
Cool. Well, I like how
I didn't hear what you just said, Michael.
I said I liked how creative your presentation was. You got lots
Thanks.
Of really nice laughs and a fun way of presenting it that people really got it and heard it.
Yeah, I think part of the message of the toothpaste tube is taking it out of the realm of good and bad and just saying, hey, this love isn't just for good people or bad people. This is medicine. This will heal you. So put it where it hurts. Don't just reserve it for the parts of you that are already fine. And once I understood projection, I realized that where I'm storing the energy for the people that I love or where I'm already healthy, where I want to apply that tool is the areas where I'm storing images of people that I don't love, because that's where, now that I understand projection, that's where I need that medicine. So praying for
right.
people that I have issues with.
Yes, and it reminds me of, and we got to close the show because we're down to about 30 seconds, but it reminds me of Rumi, a 13th century mystic who said, in the presence of love, all pain becomes medicine. So we're here to support you in having medicine in your life at every turn and doing it joyfully and with aliveness and creating the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessing.
Thank
you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.